Good morning, everyone. This is just a regular good morning. So it is a great, great privilege to be coming together again, to be able to learn Meseches Brachos. And in beginning Meseches Brachos, we are beginning Shas Bavli. So even though many of us have learned different parts of Bavli over the course of our lifetime, there is something very special about opening on page one, and that is to mention that the weekly shiur is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction. Great. So thank you to the Baumzers. So when you start Shas Bavli, it gives you an opportunity to just take a step back for 1 minute before you're jumping into Gemara. Gemara is so much a part of the core of our Limud HaTorah, to just think about why we start in the place that we start. So I wanted to share just a couple of quick insights, and then we'll jump in. The Mishnah begins, Mei Masai Koronis Shema Be'arvin. The Mishnah is going to discuss, and that's what the whole Daf Beis is going to discuss the proper time for saying Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the evening Kriya Shema. And this is Shas, it just jumps in with this question. So at the Siyum HaShas, if you all remember, about 60 degrees ago, when we sat, freezing ourselves off, and we finished Talmud Bavli, so Rav Aaron Feldman was the one who started off the new cycle, and he shared a fascinating insight. He says, he asked the following question: why do we begin Talmud Bavli with Mei Masai Koronis Shema Be'arvin? When do we read the nighttime Shema? Why is that the first topic? After all, we know that this perek begins two things. It begins Seder Zeraim, which is the Seder that discusses all of the agricultural halachos in the Torah. And it begins Meseches Brachos, which discusses... Are you okay? Everything okay? It's the heat. It's the heat. Yeah. I don't know that it's the heat. I just heard him say that. So it begins Meseches Brachos, which is all about making brachos. So asks Rav Feldman, why is it that the first Mishnah doesn't mention anything about Zeraim? It doesn't mention anything about brachos. It jumps in with Kriya Shema. What does Kriya Shema have to do with Seder Zeraim? This is the only Mesech that we have in the Bavli on Seder Zeraim. We go straight from here to Shabbos, which is already Seder Moed. But why would it be that we would have this as the introductory discussion? It has nothing to do with Seder Zeraim, and it has nothing to do with Meseches Brachos, which is ultimately going to be about making brachos. Why introduce all of Shas with Kriya Shema? So he writes very beautifully, or he shared very beautifully, that what is the mitzvah of Zeraim and what is the mitzvah of Brachos? The mitzvah of Zeraim is to take of the produce of your field a certain amount and consecrate it for particular groups, whether it's the Aniyim or the Kohanim or the Leviim. And what is brachos? Brachos is that before you eat something of this world, you have to acknowledge, you have to express a certain affirmation that it ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he writes that Zeraim is really about the fact that the world, the earth, the land, does not belong to us. Even though we spend all day and all night tilling that land, growing that land, cultivating that land, nurturing that land, and producing things from that land, nevertheless, at the end of the day, it does not belong to us. Brachos is that the world doesn't belong to us. At the end of the day, before you're a nena, anything we'll see in Meseches Brachos later. You have to make a bracha before you have any benefit from Olam Hazeh. So he says, what is Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is that even our lives don't belong to us. Until you could begin with the foundation of recognizing that you don't just live for yourself, that you live for a higher purpose, and you're willing to even give up, as it says in the first paragraph of Shema, all of your resources, and even your life, b'chol nafshicha, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless you build a foundation where you don't just live your life itself just for you, but you live it for a higher calling, from there, you could ultimately develop an attitude that it's not just my life, but it's all my resources, it's everything in this world, it's the ground, it's my job, it's everything I earn, it's everything I grow. Everything ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why we begin with Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema is a declaration of our faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, declaration of our faith in God. It's fascinating that Shas begins with a question. It's pointed out that Shas begins with a question, and that is very telling. It's not that every Mishnah begins with a question. Most Mishnayos do not begin with a question. The fact that Chazal chose to begin all of Gemara with a question, which of course has multiple answers and conflicting answers, is indicative of the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. The nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is an inquisitive journey. The nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is that Yadus is not just about subscribing to dogmatic principles and performing rituals and meeting certain overt expectations. Talmud Torah, and certainly Gemara, is an evolutionary process of exploration, of understanding, of questioning, of answering, of challenging, and at the end of the day, our ability to discern the depths of Gemara comes from our ability to ask the right questions. And that questions in Yadus is not something that we move away from. It's not a sign of weakness if you have questions. People all the time, I'll get into conversations with people, I have a lot of questions about God. Good, so do I. I have a lot of questions about Judaism. Good, the whole thing opens with a question, an unresolved question. So that's part of the foundation of what Maseches Brachos and what Shas is coming to ultimately bring to us. Torah Shebaal Peh, and essentially the rabbinic layer of Judaism, is really about three things. It's about interpretation, it's about application, and it is about protection. It's about interpreting the Torah Shebichtav in the context of our Mesorah. It's about applying those principles to contemporary situations. And it is about defending the core integrity of our system of halacha by creating boundaries and ensuring that we're always doing the right thing. And I believe that as we go through this Mishnah, you'll see that the opening Mishnah in Shas has all three. It's interpreting the verses in the Torah. What does it mean to go to sleep? What does it mean to be at the time you're going to sleep? It's not just interpreting the verses of the Torah, it's applying it to a contemporary situation, as we'll see. The opening Mishnah in Shas has a story. And it is also a defense, because as we'll see, the opening Mishnah in Shas also tells you how to protect and ensure that you're always doing the right thing when it comes to Kriya Shema. And that's really what the collective force of the rabbinic dimension of Judaism is all about. So let's begin. Meimasai Koran es Shema be'arvin. From when do we read the Shema at night? We know that the Torah tells us we have to read the Shema. We just said it a few minutes ago. B'shachbecha u'b'kumecha. For the kumecha is when we wake up. But first we have to read it b'shachbecha when we go to sleep. So what's called going to sleep? So if I took a poll in this room and asked everybody what time you went to sleep last night, everybody's going to have a different answer. Right? If you have, if I ask everybody what time you woke up, maybe here we'll have more of a uniform answer. I live with two teenage girls, and I will tell you that what's called Bikumecha in their world is very different than what's called Bikumecha in my world. Their world a little more towards Mincha Bikumecha, but my world a little more towards Ma'ariv Bikumecha. So different people do different things. So we need a Hagdar. We need to know what to do. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Meimasai Koran es Shema be'arvin. So when do we begin reading, or when do we have to read, when do we recite the Shema, what's called B'shachbecha, at night? So says the Mishnah, Misha shakohanim nechnasim lecho b'trumasa. So if you have a Kohen, and that Kohen is permitted to eat Truma, which is the special gifts, that was one of the special gifts that was given from everybody's produce to the Kohen. So that Kohen that's permitted to eat Truma, what happens if he becomes Tameh? So there's a process. First he becomes Tameh, he can't eat any Truma. Then later in the next day, he goes to the mikvah. Once he goes to the mikvah, he's considered pure now. He waits until Tseisa Kochavim, until it's nighttime. And at nighttime, he can eat Truma again. And then the next day, if the type of Truma he contracted is warranting of a Korban, he brings a korban. So that time, the time that the Kohanim can eat Truma, that's Tseisa Kochavim. That is when we finish Shabbos, right? And so that's when you can eat Truma, and that's when you should be reciting Kriya Shema. That's the earliest time you should be reciting Kriya Shema of nighttime. The Gemara is going to ask, why do you have to talk in code? Why do you have to make everything so complicated? Why don't you just say, Seisa Kochavim? So we're going to get to that. So that's the beginning time. And when does it end? So that's when you have to start. Seisa Kochavim. Ad Sof HaShmura HaRishona. So that could be until the end of the first watch. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The first watch, the Gemara is going to tell us, the end of the first watch is going to be a third of the night. The night's going to be divided into multiple watches, and we'll get to the details of that, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say a little bit later, Ad Chatzos, that you have until midnight, or halfway through the night. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you have the whole night, Ad Shiyale Omer HaShachar, until the sun actually comes up, and we will get into later in Maseches Brachos, when exactly is Amud HaShachar. So three opinions, whether or not only one opinion about when it starts at Seisa Kochavim, three opinions about how long you have. Do you have into a third of the night? Do you have all the way until Chatzos, midnight, or do you have even until the sun comes up the following morning? Then we tell a story. Maisu bo bano mi beis hamishta, so Rabbi Gamliel's kids, went out on a Motzei Shabbos, whatever, not even a Motzei Shabbos, the Stama night, and they went to a party, Amru lo karinu es Shema. So they said to him, they came back, said, we didn't read Shema yet. So Amru lahem, im lo ola Amud HaShachar, chayovin atem likros. If Amud HaShachar didn't come in, if it's still nighttime, then you are still obligated to read the Shema. Velozu bilvad, and not only is that true, ela koma she'amru chachamim ad chatzos. Anytime the chachamim tell us that something needs to be done by midnight, mitzvosan ad she'yale amud hashachar. The actual standard is really the entire night until sunrise the next morning, or dawn the next morning. However, so for example, it's a little bit of machlokus rishonim what the nature of this example is. But Hector Chalavim Ve'Evarim, the fats and the organs of a carbon that are offered that night that have to be burned before the next morning on a regular carbon, mitzvasan ad sheyale Amud HaShachar, really can be offered until Amud HaShachar. In other words, so again, different interpretations how to read this line in the Mishnah, but let's read it as those, so things that must be done at night fundamentally can be done until Amud HaShachar, until dawn. V'chol ha'necholin liyom echad, mitzvasan ad she'yale Amud HaShachar. And any carbon that needs to be eaten by the end of a particular day can really be eaten until Amud HaShachar. Im kein lamu amru chachamim ad chatzos. So then why did the chachamim say you should only do it until midnight? So says the Mishnah, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, because they are protecting us from making a mistake. They're protecting us from committing the avera of eating the carbon late, which is a chi of kares, of hekter chalavim ve'evarim late, which is also a problem, and missing kriya shema. So really, kriya shema can be read all the way till dawn. However, why do Chazal say ad chatzos? To make sure that you read it really until chatzos. That you really read it until chatzos. There's an interesting discussion here between Rashi and Tosis. Rashi raises the question that I'm sure everyone here was thinking about, which is, what do you mean Kriya Shema only starts at Seisa Kochavim? We daven Maariv very often much earlier than Seisa Kochavim. We daven Maariv very often after Shkia. And that's based on different interpretations of when you can daven Maariv. So Rashi assumes that the Kriya Shema that we say at early Maariv has nothing to do with the actual mitzvah of Kriya Shema. It's positioned there so that our tefillah is mitoch divrei Torah. And as a result, we have to repeat the Kriya Shema later that night, after Tzeis HaKochavim, and Rashi makes a suggestion that you could do so when you say Kriya Shema Alamita, even though you only say the first paragraph, that's really good enough. Tosis says that this is not the case, that when we daven Maariv, we're presuming that the nighttime is following one of the opinions that is actually an earlier Zman, and therefore you would be Yotzei the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And so that is incorporated in Maariv. What is the generally accepted halacha is a little bit of a split. And that's how we have here all the time. We daven Maariv a little bit early. We always include Kriya Shema because we want to daven mitoch divrei Torah. Maybe it's a good Kriya Shema, but we always remind you at the end of davening, don't forget, repeat Kriya Shema after Tzeis HaKochavim. When we tell you to repeat Kriya Shema after Tzeis HaKochavim, we don't say, don't forget to say Kriya Shema Lamita, because the Chachilo, the poskim assume that we don't accept Rashi's solution of only doing one paragraph, that really you should recite the entire totality of Kriya Shema. So that's our Mishnah. So now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Tana Heichakoi says, where did the Tana receive the prompt to even address this question? In other words, the Mishnah seems to sort of come out of left field. It's like starting in the middle of a subject. How do you know when do we say Shema at night? Tana Heichakoi, like what is this talking about? Rashi, Meheicha Kasolik Ditana Bechovas Kriya Shema, Shehichilisho Kan Zmana Kriya. Where did the Tana even know that you have an obligation of Kriya Shema, that he starts talking now about the time of the Kriya? So says the Gemara, Visu, and a second question, Maishna Ditani Be'arvis Bereisha, Lisni Deshachris Bereisha. When it comes to the Karbonos, so we say, Sakeves Achod Taseh Babokir. So when it comes to the karbanos, to tefillah, we generally relate to daytime is first, and then nighttime. So why is the Mishnah addressing Maariv before we even address Shachris? So Tana Akrokai. So he says the Tana is relating to a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Dechsiv b'shachbicha u'bikumecha. The order of the pasuk is when you go to sleep and when you wake up. And so therefore, v'achiktani, and this is what the Mishnah is telling us, zman kriya shma dishchiva, I'm already in the context of reading the Torah and I encounter this mitzvah. And it seems to indicate that the primary or the first in the sequence of reciting this shma two times a day is at night. So when is that time? Mishosh ha-kohanim nichnasin lecho b'tshumasan. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to respond to. The Ibayasema, then the Gemara introduces another possibility. Yalif mibriyaso shalolam. It's not necessarily true, your entire presumption that we relate to nighttime after daytime is not necessarily true, even from the creation of the world. Vayere vayivoker yom echad. When God created the world, it says that he created the nighttime and then the daytime and then yom echad. That's the end of the first day. And that's how we relate to Zmanim in general. So it's actually quite intuitive that the Mishnah would first relate to Maariv. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, well, if that's true, that we always relate to Maariv first, Diktani Bishachar, when we, Ihachi, sorry, Seifa, later in the Perek, Diktani, where we learned in a Mishnah, regarding the brachos of Kriya Shema, the Mishnah says, Bishachar mevarich shtayim lifanea ve'achas le'achareha. In the morning, you make two brachos before and one bracha after. Uve'erev, and at night, mevarich shtayim lifanea, you make two brachos before Kriya Shema v'shtayim l'achareha, and two afterwards. That's the format for Shachris and Maariv, right? You have one bracha afterwards for Shachris of Gal Yisrael. You have two for Maariv, Shomer Yisrael Ad, and Gal Yisrael. So listening to Arvis Bereisha. So in the structural presentation of that Mishnah, it seems to be first advancing the elucidation of the din of Shachris, of the morning, and then the din of Maariv. It should really have Maariv first. What happened to Vayera Vayivoker? What happened to B'shach B'cha V'kumecha? What's going on? So the Gemara says, now, stylistically, this may relate to what Rabbi Weissman was saying, sometimes Mishnayos are structured in such a way that the flow is thematic, sometimes the flow is just contextual, one thing leads to another, and sometimes the structure of the flow is intended to be able to facilitate better retention of the information. Because remember, we're very blessed. We're living in a generation we could sit here with Gemaras in front of us. But if we had to commit all of this to memory, without exception, not just the three things per daf, but everything to memory, we would need a certain structure so that we could follow what's going on. So says the Gemara, Tana Pasach Ba'arvis. So we begin with Mariv, because that's the first that's introduced in the Torah. The Hadar Tani B'Shachris. Then we move to Shachris. Ad Dekoy B'Shachris. And once we're landing in Shachris, Perish Mili De Shachris. We explain Shachris. The Hadar Parish Mili De Arvis. And then we move on to Mariv. In poetry, this is known as ABBA, right? This is a very common structure poetically when you want to commit something to memory. ABBA. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Okay, Amar Mar. So says the Gemara. The Mishnah said, Mishosh Kohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumasim. That Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis, the nighttime Shema, begins when the Kohanim enter to eat their truma. Michti Kohanim Emas Koachli. When do they eat the truma? Truma Mishas Tseisa Kochavim. They eat it from the time of Tseisa Kochavim, from twilight. So says the Gemara, listening Mishas Tseisa Kochavim. So get to the point, right? Why do you have to make things so complicated already on page two, right? Get to the point. Just say it's Tseisa Kochavim. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. So the Gemara says, no, Milsa Agav Urche Kamashmalon. The Gemara, the Mishnah, wanted to convey two things within this nugget of information. Number one, Kohanim Emas Ka'achli B'Truma Mishas Tseisa Kochavim. The Gemara wanted to, the Mishnah wants to tell us, number one, that you say Kriya Shema Shalaila at twilight. And number two, you should know that the Kohanim, we take it as a presumption that the Kohanim could eat Truma after Tseisa Kochavim. But we're going to see that's not so simple. And the Mishnah is clarifying that that is indeed the case. Why would that not be considered so simple? What are you talking about? They go to the mikvah, it becomes nightfall, and we're done. Similar to when women go to the mikvah. They go to the mikvah, and well, women go to the mikvah at night. Like they go to the mikvah at night, they're tahora. So what's the problem? Comes to tell you that you do not require the carbon that they're going to bring the next day in order to permit them to eat the truma. You might think you have to finish this process. You have to do the mikvah, the Harav Shemesh, the end of the day, and then have the day come up again, bring the carbon, and then you could eat truma. Comes the Mishnah to tell you, no, Bishachbicha is at Tseisa Kochavim. It's the time that the Kohanim are allowed to eat their truma, and you should know that that is a measure of Bishachbicha. No one would ever presume that the time you bring the Karban is a measure of Bishachbicha, because you bring the Karban in the morning, and no one goes to sleep in the morning. So if the Mishnah is associating going to sleep at night with the time that the Kohanim can eat their Truma, it must be that at that point in the sequence of events, the Kohanim are permitted to eat their Truma. They do not have to wait until the conclusion of the process when they actually bring the carbon. Kiditanya, like we learned in Ebraisa, Uba HaShemesh Vitoher. That the sun comes and then they become pure. Bias Shimsho Me'akvaso Milecho Bitruma. So says the Gemara, the coming of the sun, meaning the setting of the sun, that is Me'akev, that is required in order for them to be allowed to eat truma. The ein kaparaso me'akvaso melecho b'truma. The fact that the pasuk itself juxtaposed the sun and the purity means all you need for purity is the setting of the sun. And you don't need the bringing of the carbon the next day. So says the Gemara, whoa, 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 whoa. You're assuming that the word upa hashemesh means what? Sunset. Well, those words literally mean the sun comes. Who knows? Maybe the sun is coming down. Maybe the sun is coming up. So who says it means coming down? I mean, my dahai uba shemesh bias shemesh. The high vitoyer atara yoma. How do you know that the coming of the sun is the setting of the sun? And the word vitoyer means that the day, it's the day that makes them pure. I have a totally different interpretation that's totally viable. Dilma bias orahu, maybe uba shemesh means the sun comes up on the next day, on the next day, on the seventh day, on the eighth day, sorry. So Dilma Bias Orahu Umay Vitahir Tahir Gavra. So then what does the word Vitahir mean? Vitahir means that the individual contributed to the Tahara. How? By bringing the korban. So that's a perfectly viable reading of this pasuk. And if that's true, then you do need kapara. If it's true that you do need the kapara, you do need the atonement, you do need the sacrifice, so then there's nothing to talk about. So then how could this be used as a time frame for bishachbicha? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Shila Im Kain, that can't be the interpretation of the pasuk, because if so, Lema Kra Vayitahir. My Vitahir, Tahir Yoma. The pasuk would have used a more active and commanding conjugation of this word. If the Torah meant to say that the Tahara was the catalyst for the Tahara, was the actions of the individual, then the Torah would have spoken from the perspective of the individual. Vayitahir, he makes himself Tahor. The fact that the Torah used a more settled conjugation, Vitahir, makes it seem like it happened independent of the individual. How could it happen independent of the individual? Because he becomes pure even before he brings the sacrifice, just merely by the sun going down. My Vitahir, Tahir Yoma, it's the day itself. Keda Amri Inshi, as people say, it's a saying, I'arev Shimsho Vadaki Yoma, the sun sets and the day comes, and that's a normal, this word va'adachi is related to the word vitahir, and so therefore that's a normal way to talk. That the day itself sort of purifies, refreshes, and that's it. Okay, v'marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they had a little bit of a different tradition with relation to this discussion, the same conclusion, but a little bit of a different shakavataria. Hadra Rabbi Rav Shila, lo shma ilahu. You didn't hear this whole discussion. Uboi lemi boi. And he simply posed the question, an interpretative question. Hai ubo hashemesh bias shimshohu. Umay bitoyer tor yoma. This pasuk of ubo hashemesh, that the sun comes, is that talking about the sun setting and the day itself purifying? Oh, Dilma, he's just articulating the ambiguity. O Dilma Bias Orohu, maybe it means the sun coming up, Umay Vitayr Tayr Gavra. And the word Vitayr refers to the individual's actions, which means bringing the sacrifice. Says the Gemara, Bahadur Pashtuhu mi Braisa, and then they resolve this ambiguity from a Braisa, Midiktani bi Braisa, since it says in the Braisa, Simin Lidavar, a way to remember, or a way to concretize. When this works, is Seisa Kochavim. Shma Mine Biyoso Shimshahu Mai Vitara Tara Yoma. So that the fact that the Mishnah introduces the Kohanim eating their Truma as Beshach Becha is a way to tell you that the way you interpret this Pasuk is that Ba Shemesh means the sun is setting, and Vitahir means the day concludes, and that transforms the status of the Kohen, and he's now permitted to go ahead, and he's permitted to eat Truma. Okay, so Amar Mar. So now the Gemara says, what about the discussion that we had? Misha Shakohanim Nichnasim Lecho B'Trumasim. So we said that the time that the Kohanim go and they eat their Truma. So now the Gemara is going to basically spend the rest of the Amud trying to figure out if other Tanaic sources agree with our Mishnah or disagree with our Mishnah. And it has to do with all sorts of traditions of how exactly to demarcate when you begin reciting Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus. And what's interesting is, let's not forget, they did not have watches, right? They did not have watches. So what did they have? They had certain rhythms of life. They had things that they did at particular points in the day, right? It's like if I were to tell you, you could daven shacharis from the first moment you check your email, right? So you would know, like for, you know, everybody wakes up in the morning and check the email. There's a certain, so that's what the Gemara is about to do. The Gemara is about to introduce all sorts of behaviors that rhythmically would occur in a certain sense of order, in a certain sense of Seder, and that would be an anchor upon which someone could know this is really the right time over the course of the continuum of when nightfall, or is really, it's not really nightfall, I should back up a second, when we are now in the world of Bishachbacha, when we are now in the world of the time when people could potentially go to sleep. So says the Gemara, it's interesting, Rav Kook, who has a sefer on the Agados of Brachos, Rav Kook distinguishes between, Rav Kook writes, that Kriya Shema Shel Shachris and Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the morning Shema and the night Shema, each symbolize a different dimension of our faith. That the morning Shema symbolizes the declaration of faith that we have in the context of clarity, in the context of redemption, when it's obvious to everyone. You look around the world and you see God. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, the Kriya Shema that we recite at night, is our declaration of faith even when things are more challenging, when things are more difficult, when things are not as clear, when things are darker. And says Rav Kook, the fact that the Torah requires both is to tell you that no matter what the circumstances are surrounding the life of a Jew, there is always a mandate to be able to project and affirm our faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he writes in particular, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is related, the Kriya Shema of nighttime is related to the world of Golos. That's why the tefillah that follows it, which the Gemara is later is going to say, you're required to say as part of Maariv, is a tefillah about MS the Emunah. It's a tefillah about Emunah. A tefillah about having faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam. He goes on to say that the only way that the Jewish people can persevere in their faith, even in the context of a world that's so dark and so challenging and so difficult, is by substantiating the ways in which they are differentiated from that world. How they have a certain mandate in the world. They have a certain set of values that they are here to bring to the world. And says Rav Kook, very beautifully, that's why the source of when you say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kriya Shema at night, is from the Kohanim. Because the Kohanim are the priests of the Jewish people, but the Jewish people are the Kohanim of the world. And so therefore, it's when Kohanim can eat Truma, it's when we can fully enjoy our status as Kohan, as it's differentiated from the rest of the Jewish people, it's when we can understand our role and our purpose and our lifestyle as differentiated from the rest of the world, and we can lead and teach and project and serve and be able to move the world forward. That's the world of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. That's what we're supposed to think about when we say Kriya Shema at night. We're not just supposed to repeat the words the same way. Just stop and say to ourselves, even at night, there's an emunah. Okay, that's Rav Kook at the beginning of Brachos. So says the Gemara, Amar Mar Mishasha Kohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Truma. So the time is Tzeisa Kochavim, when the Kohanim, twilight, eat their Truma. V'reminu, so says the Gemara, I'll offer a contradiction. Mei Masai, so we have another source. When do you read the Shema at night, Be'arvin? Mishaha Ani Nichnas Lechol Pito B'Melech. From the time that a poor person begins his meal of bread and salt. Ad sha'a she'ome lipater mitoch sudaso, until the time that he finishes that meal. So the Gemara says, well, seifa v'adai pligi amas nisan. The end of that, for sure, argues on our Mishnah, because that's a much earlier time. The end of the poor man's meal is a much earlier time than even the earliest time of the Mishnah's endings. If you remember, the Mishnah had the ending, so ashmur rishona, chatzos, and Alos HaShachar. That's much earlier than all of those. So that certainly disagrees with our Mishnah. What about the Reisha? Does the beginning of this disagree with our Mishnah? Reisha, Mile Mapligei Masnisan. So the Gemara says, no, lo. And this is an important methodological point. Anytime we can resolve a contradiction between two statements of the Tanoim by simply harmonizing them, by aligning them, we do. That's always the first line of response. So the Gemara says, lo, ani v'kohen chad shiruhu. Don't get bent all at a shape. The time of the ani is actually tzeisa kochavim. It's just not everybody walked around with a luach. And so How did they know when Tzeis HaKochavim was? When the Aniyim had their meal. So the Gemara says, V'raminu, I'll ask you a contradiction on that presumption. Why? May Masai Matchil Likros Kriya Shema Be'arvis. When do we begin Kriya Shema at night? Misha Shebnei Adam Nichnasin Lechol Pitom Be'arvi Shabbosos. Divi Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says we begin when people eat on Erev Shabbos, when people eat on Friday night. The Chachamim Rami Mishash HaKohanim Zechayin Lecho B'Tshumasam. The Chachamim say, no, it's at Tzeis HaKochavim. And Simen Ledavar, Tzeis HaKochavim. And how do you, when do the Kohanim eat their Tshuma? Tzeis HaKochavim. And then, this is parenthetical, the Gemara says, V'Apa Pishen Raya Ledavar, and even though it's not an exact proof, Zecher Ledavar, there is an allusion to this type of distinction. Shenemar, as it says, in the pasuk in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah is describing the zeal with which they were trying to rebuild Yerushalayim, v'anachnu osim b'melacha, we're doing this work, v'chetziam machzikim b'ramachim, and some are doing the work grasping these spears, me'alos ha'shachar, from dawn ad tzeis ha'kochavim, until tzeis ha'kochavim, until the appearance of stars. But Omer, and it says regarding this, v'hayalanu halayla mishmar v'hayom melacha. So the pasuk relates to the fact that during the nighttime they would guard, and during the day they would do the work. So what do you see? You see that those are the boundaries of daytime and nighttime. My v'omer, why do they have to bring in this v'omer? V'chitem and v'chi arvashim shalelahu. Because maybe you'd think that really at shkia, at sunset, night begins, v'inu d'mechashi makdimi, and these people were just working more. So tashma v'hayulanu halayla mishmar v'hayom milacha. Okay, so now the Gemara explains its question. Kasalka daitach de'ani ubnei adam chad shi'urahu. We're presuming that the poor person and the regular person eat at the same time. And what did we just say? The Iyamarta Ani V'Kohen Chad Shi'uruhu Chachamim Hainu Rabbi Meir. So we just said that Rabbi Meir says you eat it from the time of Erev Shabbos. Normal people eat on Erev Shabbos. The Chachamim say, no, you eat it at Tzeis HaKochavim. But if the time of Erev Shabbos is also the time of the Ani, and the Ani doesn't contradict our Mishnah, so the Ani is also Tzeis HaKochavim, so now, by making all of these assumptions, you've essentially corrupted the nature of the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Because now Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are basically saying the same thing, based on your interpretation, based on your assumption. Rabbi Meir is saying we eat it at the time that people eat on Erev Shabbos, regular people, which is the same time as poor people, which you said is the same time as the Kohen. And Chachamim say you eat it at the time of the Kohen, which is Tzeis HaKochavim. So now they're saying the same thing, and they can't be saying the same thing because they're in a Mishnah disagreeing with each other. So Ela Shma Mina Ani Shir Lechud V'Kohen Shir Lechud. So it must be that the Ani is its own shir, and this whole Hanacha is wrong, that the Ani is its own shir, and the Kohen is its own shir. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe Ani V'Kohen Chad Shira, maybe the Ani and the Kohen, in other words, there are two ways to resolve this problem. One way is to disrupt the assumption, the original assumption, and the other way is to disrupt the secondary assumption. Assumption number one that created this problem was that the Ani and the Kohen are the same time. That was how we resolved the earlier contradiction, right? So that created this problem. But there's another assumption that created this. So you could just adjust that. You could say, no, you're right. These are two different things, and therefore that original contradiction that you had earlier in the Amud between our Mishnah and the other Mishnah, that's going to be a problem. They argue on each other. But there's another way to resolve this problem, and that is you preserve that identification. You say, no, the Ani and the Kohen are the same. If the Ani and the Kohen are the same, the earlier contradiction is resolved. But what do we do about Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Your whole problem presumed that Ani Ubnei Adam were the same, right? That because Rabbi Meir doesn't talk about an Ani, Rabbi Meir talks about people who are eating on Arve Shabbosos, or regular people. Maybe an Ani eats differently than regular people. So ani ubnei adam lav chad shiurahu. So the ani and the bnei adam, the poor person and the regular person, are not the same. The ani, so that's another possibility that would resolve this. That would resolve this contradiction. So in either scenario, you're left with this distinction. But ani v'kohen chad shiurahu, and ani and a kohen are really one shear, which is how the Gemara is leaving off the resolution. V'raminu, I'll ask you a contradiction. May masai matchilin likros shema. When do you read shema be'arvin at night? So now we have a number of suggestions. Suggestion number one: misha shekidish hayom be'arve shabbosos. At the time that you make Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua, Omer Rabbi Yeshua says, misha shakohanim mitarim lecho b'tshumasa. It's the time where the kohanim become pure. That's tseisa kochavim. Rabbi Meir, Omer Rabbi Meir says, misha shakohanim tovim lecho b'tshumasa. Rabbi Meir says, sorry, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, misha shakohanim mitarim lecho b'tshumasa. Rabbi Meir, Omer, misha shakohanim tovim lecho b'tshumasa. Omer lo, so, tovlin, sorry, just to, mishasha kohanim tovlin lecho b'trumasan. Not the time that they eat their truma, the time that they do the tvila. When do they do the tvila? Before shkia. So, now we have a parenthetical problem, which will be resolved at the end of the amud. Shari meir omer, mishasha kohanim tovlin lecho b'trumasan. Omer lo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, v'alo kohanim imbod yomim tovlin. They tovl during the day. That can't be a time for kriya shema of the nighttime. That's not b'shach b'cha. So we'll address that later. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Rabbi Chanina says, Misha sha'ani nichnas lechal pito b'melach. At the time that the ani eats his pas in the bread. Rabbi Acha, v'amar lo Rabbi Acha Omer, Misha sha'ro b'nei adam nichnasim lehasev. The time that most people sit down in order to eat a meal. So now we have these shitos, these different possibilities. So the Gemara says, V'iyamar to ani v'kohen chad shi'uruhu. So now we're all over the map. Now if you say that the ani and the kohen are the same, Rav Chanina hanu Rabbi Yoshua. So now Rav Chanina and Rabbi Yoshua are saying the same thing. And they're arguing in the Mishnah. Ela lav shma mina shi'ura de ani l'chud shnuri de kohen l'chud. Shma mina. So what do you see? That the shear of the ani is independent of the shear of the kohen. Now that the shear of the ani is independent of the shear of the kohen, so the first contradiction we introduced remains a contradiction. There are two different shitos, right? And then all of the other contradictions, which were potentially internal contradictions within Mishnayos, those become resolved. So the Gemara says, "Hai minayu mi'uchar." Now we've hit upon a lot of different times. Which one is later? Mistabra da ani mi'uchar. It's probable that the ani is later. Later than the Kohanim. Why? Diamarti the ani muktam, because if you think that the ani is before, Rav Chanina hani Rabbi Eliezer. Then Rav Chanina becomes Rabbi Eliezer, because once you go before the Kohanim, you're already at a point that's already been covered. Elalav shmamina the ani me'uchar, the ani must be later. Shmamina, and that's how we land. So just keep track of the order. So the Kiddush Hayom of Erev Shabbos, then the Kohanim, which was the Shkia, then the Kohanim, which is Tseis, then the Ani, then the Bnei Adam for Erev Shabbos, and then the general Bnei Adam that go to eat meals. Amar Mar, so says the Gemara, Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said, V'alo Kohanim Yibod Yomim Tovlim. How can you suggest as a possible time for Kriya Shema of Arvis, of nighttime Kriya Shema, the time that the Kohanim have tevila to become tohar, when after all that's not nighttime? So the Gemara says, "Shapir kamar le Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Meir." It's okay what Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, "Hachi kamar le." This is what Rabbi Meir could say to him. Misavarta dahana aben hashmashos didach kamina. You think I'm working with ben hashmashos, which means the distance between shkia, sunset, and tisa kochavim, which is twilight. You think I'm working with your measurement, which is a more expanded measurement, which is the measurement that we all live with, where we have shkia, and then we have X amount of minutes, depending on where you daven, and then we have tzeis kochavim, right? So I'm not working with that definition of ben hashmashos. Ano aben hashmashos to Rabbi Yosi kamina. I work with the Ben Hashmashas of Rabbi Yossi. To Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ben Hashmashas keherifayim. Ben Hashmashas is actually very, very quick. He has a totally different zmanim, which we're going to learn about later in Brachos. Zeh nichnas v'zeh yotze. Comes in and goes out. And so therefore, you could be in the zone of B'shach P'cha, even though you're at the world of Shkia, very quickly. You could barely even sense it. So Kasha is Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. So there's a Kasha between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir, because before we said that Rabbi Meir holds Mishah Shebnei Adam Nichnasim Lechol Piton Ba'arvei Shabbosos. The Rabbi Meir goes by the shear, by the time of when people generally go to eat on Erev Shabbos. And that's a later shear than the Kohen. And here he's saying that it's from the time that they tovel, time that they immerse in the mikvah, which is, right, the original Rabbi Meir that we were dealing with earlier in the Amud. And this Rabbi Meir that we're dealing with now, who's saying it's a very short Ben HaShemashos. So that's a contradiction. Trei Tanoia, leave it to Rabbi Meir. No, there's a machlokas Tanoim. What the Shita of Rabbi Meir really is. Kasha de Rabbi Lezer de Eliezer. Same thing. We have two different opinions of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, no, Trei Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. V'ibay yisema reisha lav Rabbi Eliezer he. Okay, it's possible that maybe the reisha of the Mishnah does not follow the din of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's another way you could resolve this contradiction. Okay, everyone should have a great day.